So if you'd like to follow along in your Bibles, we're going to turn to James chapter 4. James chapter 4. I didn't know what Matthew was going to speak on tonight, but he's probably quoted most of the verses that I was going to speak on. So I thought it was only right that we turn to James chapter 4. And verse number 13. Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapour that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But now ye rejoice in your boastings. All such rejoicing is evil. Therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Go to now, ye rich men, weep and howl for your miseries that shall come upon you. Your riches are corrupted and your garments are moth-eaten. Your gold and silver is cankered, and the rust of them shall be a witness against you, and shall eat your flesh as it were fire. Ye have heaped treasure together for the last days. Behold, the hire of labourers who have reaped down your fields, which is of you kept back by fraud, crieth, and the cries of them have reached, and the cries of them which have reached are entered into the ears of the Lord of Sabaoth. Ye have lived in pleasure on the earth, and being wanton, ye have nourished your hearts, as in the day of slaughter ye have condemned and killed the just, and he doth not resist you. Be patient therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it, until he receive the early and latter rain. Be ye also patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. And we trust that the Lord will bless the reading of his word to us this evening. Simple question which titles this whole message is simply this: for what is your life? It is even a vapour. Here today, gone tomorrow. And I was very encouraged to hear my brother Matthew twice as he was up here tonight say, in the will of the Lord. We'll be here next week in the will of the Lord. We'll be here and be going round to Forlongley and Stockingford in the will of the Lord. We don't know if we're going to be here. We don't know what a day brings forth. We don't know what might happen tomorrow, but we're here tonight, and we're here to preach the gospel tonight. We're here to tell you that there is a Saviour of sinners, even the Lord Jesus Christ. And as Matthew has just been exhorting us, you can have your eternity sorted if you come to him. Never mind tomorrow, you can have eternity sorted through the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, we think about tomorrow much more than we think about eternity very often, don't we? If you think about the week that you've got planned ahead of you, I reckon most of us in this room have got plans for every single day that is coming in the next week ahead. It's what we do as human beings. We think on the things that we can see and that are around us. But what James says is this: stop for a second. Stop with your grand plans. Stop with your own ideas. Stop thinking that your life is something more than what it is, because your life is but a vapour and it's going to be gone very soon. And as he continues on in the letter, he doesn't just tell everyone who's reading the letter that their life is like a vapour, but he says also, the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. The coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Do you know what? We met here yesterday, and the day before that, and the day before that. But as we stand here tonight, at 25 to 8 on Friday, the 15th of May, the Lord has never been closer to coming. He's closer to coming now than he was last night. And I tell you what, if we're all here tomorrow, it'll be closer again. Praise God, there's been another day of grace today. But I can't tell you if there'll be another day of grace tomorrow. Because as Matthew has already been reminding us, we might be taken off this world, the believers, on the Lord Jesus Christ. May be taken off this world in a moment. And my question to anyone in this room tonight who's not yet saved, are you ready? Are you ready to meet him? There's only one way you can be taken in the rapture, and that's by believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no other way. There's once a brother who preached a message the day after the rapture. What a day that's going to be. The news headlines, you can write them now. Disappearances unexplained. Alien invasion, question mark. What's happened to millions and millions of people around the world? They've gone to be with the Lord. The coming of the Lord, it draweth nigh. Are you ready for it, folks? He's coming. I can't wait for him to come. But I tell you what, it's an awesome, a wonderful day for the believer, but it's a terrifying day for the unbeliever. It's equal measure on both sides. There's a time in my life where I would have been left on this earth. But praise God, he saved me, and he'll save you, and he'll take you to be with him if you just come to him tonight. Very briefly, I want to speak to you about four things from this passage. I want to speak to you about those in this passage who boast and who say. I want to talk to you about those in this passage who buy and who sell. Those in this passage who are blind and short-sighted. But also, those in this passage who are blessed and who are saved. Those who boast and say. You know, our words give us away, don't they? We often try and hide all those wicked, evil thoughts that we have in our hearts, but how often do our words give us away? As soon as we open our mouths, oh my word, how much does this little tongue in our mouth, how much fire does it kindle at times? And James is saying of these ones here, you say and you boast that you are going to do this, you are going to do that, you are going to do the next thing. And you don't even know what's on tomorrow. You don't have a clue. You know, I just sat in a meeting on Wednesday, and the discussion topic at the end of the meeting was everyone's holiday plans for the summer. And everyone's talking about where they're going to go. These lovely hotels that they've booked. How they're going to get there. What they're going to do when they get there. How amazing it's going to be. How great the weather's going to be. They don't know any of that's going to happen. None of that is guaranteed. Absolutely none of it. And yet they say and they boast about it. Oh, I tell you something, dear friends. There's people close to me. There's one lady who's very close to me. She talks about the future as if it's 100% going to happen all of the time. You have today, my dear friends. You have now. Matthew's just been exhorting us to think about eternity and to get to Calvary and to view the Lord Jesus Christ and to put our trust in him. When should you do it? You should do it now. You cannot sit there in your seat and say, I'll do it tomorrow. That's boasting in tomorrow. That's saying something's coming tomorrow, which you're not certain of. It needs to be done today. Those who say, those who boast. Those who buy, those who sell. What were they going to do? They were going to go off into a city and buy and sell and get great gain. And they were going to be there for a year. The city and the scripture is often a picture of the world, which is often a picture of evil, which is often a picture of us trying to live without God. We create these own little metropolises so that we cannot live with Him, so that we can be self-sufficient on our own. That's what Cain did in Genesis chapter 4. He went out of the presence of the Lord, and what did he do? He started a city. That's what these people were doing. They were saying, we're going to go into the city and we're going to buy and sell. We're going to enjoy the things of the city and we're going to get great gain. What are we living for tonight? Living for the things of this world? Living for the city life where you can go and buy and sell and get great gain? My dear friends, that word out there, it'll eat you up, it'll chew you, and it'll spit you back out again. And it'll give you nothing. Absolutely nothing. I still remember a lad I went to school with, Aaron Emery. He's in eternity now. He once went on a night out in Preston. Preston's a city, believe it or not, even though it doesn't have a cathedral. He went out on a night out. And he got into a fight with some people. And he got clocked in this fight. And he fell to the ground. And he hit his head on a curb. And that was the end of him. Because he wanted to go and live in the city. He wanted to be in the world. That was the end of him. And now he's off in eternity. I thank God that I didn't die in the same way, you know. I've been out in that city enough times in my 27 years before I got saved, but he spared me from it. May the Lord spare everyone in this room from that. Don't live for the things of this world. Come to the Lord Jesus Christ. He can give you just what you need. He can give you eternal life and peace with God. That world out there, it's got nothing for you. Believe you me, I've lived in it 27 years of my life. Take it from an expert, somebody who knows what that world's all about. It's nothing like having Christ. I wouldn't buy or sell him for all the riches in the world. He's bought me though. He's bought me and he'll never sell me. He purchased me with his own precious blood on Calvary's tree. And now I belong to him. I belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. Who do you belong to? Do you belong to the Lord? Or do you belong to that world out there? Those that buy and sell. Those that are blind and short-sighted. James says to them here, whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. They couldn't see it. They were blind to it. They were short-sighted in what they were looking at. They were focused on this vapor. Do you know what a vapor is? Something that just passes away in a moment. Where I sit in my desk at home, I look out of my window, and our little vent that comes out of our house from the boiler, it has vapor that comes up out of it when we've got the heating on. And it's there, and it's gone. There, gone. That's your life, that's my life. What is your life? Oh, we like to tell ourselves that our lives are very important, don't we? We like to convince ourselves that our lives are very important and that they need all this attention and we need to put our minds to lots of things, but we're not here for long enough. And you know the other thing about a vapor, it's not just that it's short, there's no substance to it. You can't grab hold of it. You can't convince me that our lives are worth that much down here. Do you want to know why? Because the Creator of heaven has subjected this creation that we love on to vanity. That's what the Bible says. Purposelessness. That's why, even if we were to build a set of stairs right to the moon, it would still be vanity. It would still be vain. It's all going to be destroyed one day by the Lord. It's going to be burnt up, and he's going to bring in a new heaven and a new earth where those who have trusted the Lord Jesus Christ will dwell with him. That's what I'm waiting for. I'm like Abraham, waiting for a city that has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Not this one. No. I'm not interested in this life. You can have this life. The Lord Jesus Christ has given me eternal life. And he'll give you eternal life as well, if you just come and put your trust in him. You know, there's many people in this world who are trying to hold on to their lives. I remember watching a video just a few months ago, and it was this man who was boasting about the fact he was 34 or whatever it was, but because of all the supplements he was taking and how well he was eating, his biological age was 4 years old. That's what he said. Do you know what? Even if his biological age was four, and even if that man lives until 500, 600, 700, which he won't, his life is still a vapor. It appeareth for a little while and then it's gone. Why is it still a vapor? Because it's all in the context of eternity. Any life in the context of eternity is but a vapor. Adam lived to over 900 years old, but his life was still a vapor. Dear friends, don't be blind, don't be short-sighted. Eternity's coming. Eternity is coming. Get right with the Lord Jesus Christ when you can. Finally, those who are blessed and saved. It says here in verse 15, you ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live. Now, I know that that's talking about temporary life down here on earth, but I just love those words put together. If the Lord will, ye shall live. Do you know the one who we preach to you tonight, my dear friends? He's willed you all to be here tonight. He holds your breath in his hand, and he's given you another day to live on this wonderful earth that he created. But let me tell you something. He's got a greater will for your life, that you be saved. He's got a greater will, in fact, for the whole world. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Amen. And he demonstrated that in such a beautiful way. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. He has gone to the absolute extremes to save our souls, in that he gave up his only begotten Son. To a world that hates him, a world that despised him and rejected him and nailed him to a cross, God gave up his Son for that world. You know, there's many plans in our lifetime and before our lifetime that has not come to pass. I was just looking at a tower that was meant to be built by the communists in 1919, over 100 years ago today. Tatlin's Tower, it was called. Didn't even get past the planning stage, but they had this great big plan for it, and they wanted it to be bigger than the Eiffel Tower. And it was going to be iron mixed with steel. Lovely communist architecture. Let me tell you about a plan that's come down from heaven. God willed his Son to come into this world. The Father sent the Son to be the Saviour of the world. And the Son gladly obliged the Father in coming into this world. He did everything that pleased him. And then he offered himself as a spotless Lamb of God up to his Father, so that you, so that me, we can be forgiven of our sins. And now, as Matthew was telling us about before, God can righteously pardon us from our sins. He can righteously give us eternal life. He can righteously give us a home in heaven. He can righteously bring us into a position of peace and place us in his family for all of eternity because of what Christ has done on the cross. Praise God. And that plan didn't fail, and it won't fail, and it can't fail. And what God wants for every single person in this room tonight is to be blessed and saved. And that's why he's put this wondrous plan in place. You know, when God, in eternity past, because the Lord Jesus Christ was crucified before the foundation of the world, that was one plan that was definitely going to come to pass. Our plans, it's if the Lord wills. Our plans, though we might make them, they may not come to pass. We might not be here next week, as Matthew was just saying. But when God made a plan to save sinners like you and save sinners like me, that plan was always going to come to pass. And it did come to pass. Christ has died, and he has proclaimed the work is finished. It's over and done. And all you have to do tonight in your seat is repent, turn from your own ways, and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Praise God for that. Praise God for that. What is your life? Well, your life can be lived for Christ if you just come to him. And your life can be held in his hands. He said that he can never lose any of his sheep. He gives unto them eternal life, and they shall never be lost. And Christ is willing to give you eternal life. So then you can say, what is my life? Well, do you know what my life is? My life is waiting for the coming of the Lord, which draweth nigh. That's what I'm waiting for now. As Matthew quoted, to live is Christ, to die is gain, and if I don't die, it means that the Lord has come and taken me before I've died. Praise God for that. We'll just close with a word of prayer, and then we'll have a brief hymn.